members, worshippers, visitors, friends, whoever you are, in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, I say a very warm welcome. You know, every time, and I hope you don't get tired of my repeating, every time we can meet in peace, keep thanking God. Keep on thanking God. And when you truly thank Him, He will call you to be His servant. And that is our theme for this morning. Service of God, what does it mean to you? The most famous preacher of the 19th century, called Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one morning addressing his own people said this, "Welcome," like I said just now, "Welcome to this church." His church was in London, the most famous Metropolitan Tabernacle. Some of you have been there. And he says, "Welcome to be one of us, but please understand, in this church we are like a beehive." You know what is the beehive? Everybody busy. We do not welcome drones. Maybe it's a term you've forgotten long ago. You learned this in school, I suppose. Every bee got to work. We don't like those bees who come there and expect to be fed and sit down and do nothing. Drones are those who do nothing. As we think of this topic this morning of service of God, recall what that great preacher said. Yes. If you are a Christian and come to church expecting just to be fed, to sit down and grow fat and do nothing, Pastor Spurgeon says to you, you've come to the wrong place, my friend. Please find another place to go to. And I say the same to all of us here. If you're a Christian, resolve from today that you will also be a servant of God. I want to give you this morning three passages of Scripture and four OHPs. Only four.
Can you all see upstairs? Yes or no? Thank you. Right, maybe that.
This is a famous slogan. And it focuses us on what we are talking about today. First of all, you have to be saved. If there is anyone here who is not sure he is saved, please see me after this. It is our greatest concern and our business here to ensure that everyone who walks through that door will not leave without hearing the message of salvation. Right? And once you're saved because you've come to trust in the Lord and Savior, you got to serve Him. Because He served you with His own blood on the cross. He served you to save you out of everlasting destruction. Now what do you do to Him, for Him? Here it is. Don't forget, when we started our youth fellowship in Life Church, we had a slogan which says, "Save to serve." And that was a good slogan. Our YF thrived and flourished to know that there is a Savior who saved us and who wants us to be His servants. So this is it, dear friends. As I announced, I have three scripture passages and four OHPs. So that's first gone already. Three more OHPs coming and three Bible passages. Can you turn with me to the first Bible passage? The first Bible passage is in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Reading from verse 14. And this is a very memorable speech of the great successor to Moses. Who was he? Oh, dear friends, when God takes me away, who will be the successor? Think of it. Moses is gone. Joshua took over. Now Joshua's turn to go has come. Please remember, all of us have a time to come, a time to go, and here is time to go. But Joshua does not leave his people without a message. So this, you may call, is a farewell message. Farewell message is usually, or ought always to be, the most important words that the man who is going will leave with the people he loves. This is it. Verse 14 of Joshua 24. As we focus on the word serve, right, save to serve, in the passage we are going to read, the word served is mentioned 12 times. Alright, I want to warn you first, alert you, so that you will read with understanding. Foremost in Joshua's mind is that his people continue to serve the Lord. And it is so easy for one generation to serve the Lord fervently, and the very next generation backslides into apostasy. Can that happen? I say, let God not allow it to happen in this church. So I give you the farewell message of Joshua for you to understand. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and what? Serve Him. That word is a wonderful word. This is the first time we are going to read it here. And remember it. It's meant for you if you're a Christian. If not, you cannot serve God. Why not, you say? I say, you cannot serve God if you're not a Christian because you're still dead in sins and trespasses and you have no life in you. How can you serve when you are dead? Now, verse 14 again, please. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Ah, it's so important. Let no one serve the Lord in pretense. Make a show coming to church and pretend to be a Christian. That is abominable. Don't, please. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away those idols which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And now, what? Serve ye the Lord. So this is, you may say, in a way, my farewell message. Of course, I don't know when I'm going, but if I should be going, this is what I'll tell you. Right? So you never forget. Yes, whether I'm here or not here, it should make no difference, because it is God's word telling you. You are a Christian, continue to serve, not just one day, one year, but all your life until you finish and get to the heavenly home. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you think it is a waste of time, if you think it's boring, if you think you are being left behind by the world and you want to catch up with the world, and serving the Lord is a waste of time, actually is a handicap, you want to give up. Anyone with that idea? Joshua says, don't. Read on, please. Choose you this day whom you will serve. This is four times of the word serve. Choose you. Serving the Lord is never by compulsion. You're not obliged to serve the Lord, you know, not at all. But you must serve with Him, serve Him willingly, cheerfully, happily. Choose you. Now read on. Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in Egypt and on the other side of the flood. But as for me, the last part of verse 15, the most famous verse from the words of Joshua. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Please remember this verse, Joshua 24:15. Not the whole verse, but the important part says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Please, you are not compelled to, but because you have received the wonderful salvation grace of God, now say, I choose God. Can you say that? There is a choice, you know. In all our life, there is a choice. It is the world versus the kingdom of God all the time. The world versus the kingdom of God. We are going to read about it in Romans 12. Right? Now, Joshua encountered the same problem as we do today. The same problem. What is the same problem? The problem is choice. God versus the world all the time. So, Joshua says, you choose. As for me, what does it say? We will serve the Lord. Me and my house. I and my house. All those responsible to me. All those I'm responsible for. We have made our choice. We have made our minds. Why? Because if not for the Lord, where would we be? Answer? In Egypt. Serving the Egyptians. Cruel masters. In bondage. The same with us. Until the Savior came to save us, we were all bound in fetters of sin under Satan. Yes. You are only in one of two camps, understand all this. Either you are with the Lord, serving the Lord, or you are with Satan, serving Satan. There is no other place. All right. What is your choice? Verse 16. The people answered and said, God forbid, praise the Lord. On that day, they were all in their right minds. All of them realized how God has saved them from Egypt through the Red Sea after the killing of the firstborn on the night of the Passover. Did they all know it? Do you know it? Do you know the Lord died for you? He is our Passover. If not for Him, we will still be in Egypt. Now, because of this, we resolve, the people resolve, verse 15. God forbid, verse 16, we will serve the Lord and no other gods. Verse 17. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Same with us, please. Our bondage is a spiritual bondage under Satan in the world. Before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, that was our situation. Today you are free because of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that has set you free. Will you go back to serve other gods? Read on. And those great signs we saw in our sight and preserved us all the way wherein we went, among all the people through whom we passed, the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Can you say all this, dear friends? We all have our past when we were dead in sin, serving the elements of the world, serving our own flesh, going with the way of the world. But God in mercy brought you to the gospel and to the light. Continue in it. Continue to serve the Lord. Verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord anyhow. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you continue to sin against Him, please do not. So I say to anyone here who is sliding back to the world and saying, hey, the world is not so bad after all. Yes. Let me serve God one day in seven, and 6 days I go back to the world and serve the world. I say, please do not. That is the snare of Satan. If you want to serve the Lord, it is every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 7 days a week. Every hour of the day you serve the Lord. There's no other way. Verse 20. Now here it is. A word of warning to those who want to dabble with the world. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. And after that, he had done you good. Why should you do such a thing? Don't. Don't, dear friends. Let no Christian believer today think it is a funny thing, enjoyable to sin. It's not. Please do not. Don't go back to the other gods. Don't go back to the world. It is not worth it. For the moment, it is pleasurable. In the end, you will reap bitterness and condemnation. Verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Can we all say this? Can you say this, dear friends? Are you prepared to say it? And not just for today, but every day. Wake up in the morning, "Lord, thank you for saving me and help me to serve you." Every day. Because why? Because serving Jesus is the most wonderful thing that can ever happen to anybody. The most wonderful thing. It is a privilege. It is a joy. And it is everlasting profit. Nothing else but serving the Lord. Verse 22 in conclusion. And Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourself. Watch out. Today, seated in church comfortably, in your heart you have said, 'Lord, I will serve you and no other God. I will not return to the world.' Now, you are your witness." Did you say so? Did you resolve to serve the Lord? That resolve is your witness. Remember what you resolved. Remember what you promised the Lord just a moment ago. You have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, "Ah," you say to yourself, "we are witnesses." All the people on that day, praise the Lord, they did not deny any of those things that Joshua said to them. I say, it is a good farewell message, isn't it? Can you remember where it is from? Make a mark. Joshua 24 and verses 14 to 22. Now that is the first Bible passage. Now let's turn to the second and see what God has for us there. Romans chapter 12, the verses we had recited earlier on. Here the Apostle Paul speaks to you. The last speaker was Joshua. Now we change to New Testament times, Paul. Who is Paul? Paul says, "I thank my Lord that he had pity on me. And he counted me worthy when I was a persecutor, a blasphemer, injurious to the church of Christ, and he called me." How about you? Some of you may be in that situation. And Paul was called from an enemy to become the greatest defender of the faith and the servant of Christ. No more, no less. Servant. And this is our theme today. Here is the greatest of servants. One who served all his life. The moment Jesus met with him on the road to Damascus, Paul was called to serve Jesus from that moment, never turning back. Never, never, never. But with his life, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He served that way. Are you? Are you willing? Now, let's see what he has to say to you. Who's saying the words of Paul from his experience? Verse 1, please. Paul says to you, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." Oh, what a wonderful, loving, affectionate greeting, isn't it? You know, what is the meaning of the word beseech? I beg of you. I plead with you. Please listen. This is something good for you. I'm not compelling you to do it, but reasoning out with you. Please do what? Read on. I beg of you, therefore, brethren. Oh, what a loving term. How to be another's brother is the greatest wonder that even the Lord Jesus says, "You are my brothers." And here we are called brethren by the mercies of God, not because we deserve it. And we must continuously remind ourselves, we were once dead in sins and trespasses, enemies of God and aliens far away, now become brothers. All right? How, by the mercies of God, God had pity on us, God came to us while we were unloving, unlovely, filled with filth of sin, and only deserving nothing but the condemnation of God. God came to us. This is the mercy. Have you received that mercy? If you have, read on. It is a wonderful message, begging, pleading. Read on. Please present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is a reasonable way for you to serve Him. Now you understand this verse better? This verse says very simply, you come to church, you walk here or drive here, but you present yourself, body, soul, and spirit. I can't see your soul or spirit. I can see your body. Now you walk through here, we are all with bodies, we sit here and serve the Lord. Now this message says, please serve the Lord with your bodies, a living sacrifice. In the old days, can we just turn our minds back 2,000 years? How did they serve? 3,000 years, all right? Everyone who sinned, everyone who wanted to worship God brought an offering. And those offerings were animals. And those were called sacrifices. And they were all offered on the altar. They were first killed, blood is shed, and the animal is burned. And then there is smoke going up, and they say, God be pleased to accept this, my sacrifice in my stead. In those days, those animals were representative of the coming Lamb of God. All right? You understand that? And through those years, over 1,000 years, even now the Jews do it, every animal is killed, sacrificed, in order to please God. Today we no longer do it. But in place of an animal, we bring ourselves a body for God to use. What kind of a body do you offer to God today? Verse 1, please see. The Word of God says, please, I beg of you, whoever you are. You want to be a Christian and come to serve the Lord? I plead with you, by the mercies of God, come and present your own bodies. A living sacrifice. Holy. Holy meaning to say, separated from sins and sinful things. Separate from the world. And as I said, there are just two camps you can be in. Two. The world, the kingdom of God. Just two. Now you come to serve the Lord in the kingdom of God. Come with a body that is separate from the world. This is the world. You must not carry the world with you into the church and try to serve God here. If your life is not holy, that body is not holy, you cannot serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Who shall ascend to the holy hill of the Lord? Psalm 24. What does it say? He that hath clean hands and pure heart. Only with clean hands and pure heart you come to serve the Lord, God is pleased. And Paul is very concerned in this letter to the Romans. My friends in Rome, I long for you. But the greatest thing I can give to you is a message. And I say the same thing to all our friends here. My friends, brethren and sisters at Calvary Pandan, I beseech you, I plead with you, please do this for yourself. What is it? Present your bodies every time you come to church. Make sure you come with clean hands, pure hearts. Your bodies. The sins of the body are the things that pull us down and pull us back to the world. Do not do that, please. I do not doubt the world is very attractive. It is always around you. You cannot escape the temptations of the world, no doubt. Yes. But we are called to be in the world as a witness. For except we will witness for the Lord to the world, who will do it? Not angels, not anyone else. And we are put here for that purpose, to be witnesses. And that is my last passage, and I might as well tell you that now. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. We all know that. You don't have to turn there. Jesus says, now I'm going to heaven. I'm going to leave you. But please remember, all power is now in my hands. Who says so? The Lord Jesus. And he says, go into all the world and be my witness. Now you tie up Matthew 28, 20 with Romans 12, 1. I'm going, you go and be my witness on earth. I'm not taking you all back to heaven with me because you are not time yet for heaven. On earth, be my witness. This is what the Lord said to his disciples, Matthew 28, 20. Now, how to be that witness? Verse 1 of Romans 12. Be a living sacrifice. You all want to please God with a sacrifice, don't you? Of course. That's why you came to church. Now make that sacrifice acceptable, holy. God must be pleased with you when you come. And how can you be sure God is pleased? How can you be sure? Verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Please look into your own lives, search yourselves and say, Lord, am I walking with you? It is so easy because others do it, I do. Because my friends say, let's do it, we do. And these things are not right. There are so many things of the eyes, of the hands and the feet, and of the carnal flesh that we all do. And we go by the way of the world. I say, do not, do not. I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Live every day for the Lord Jesus, a life that is pleasing to God, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. We have a wonderful God. God never imposes things that are unreasonable. You agree? We have a wonderful God, a wonderful Heavenly Father, so kind and merciful and gracious and tender, and He never calls you to do anything which is unreasonable. All that He asks you to do, He also enables you to do. But the thing is, you got to be willing. God never compels you to do anything against your will. But the moment you say, Lord, I will, I want to be made willing, He begins to work on you. Now read on. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, please. Don't say, everybody do, I do. That is not for a Christian. Say, let everybody do what they want to do, but I will follow the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who said that? Joshua. Where? 24:15. Choose you. As for me, I know my Lord has saved me. I know He died for me, and He wants me to be a witness. As for me and my house, we have made up our minds already. We will serve the Lord. Can you say that? Servants of God and the Christian, this is the meaning of it. Please read on verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. It is the easiest thing to be pressed into the mold of the world. Because the pressures are always there. Pressures that press you to do the things you do not think is good. You know it's no good. But because of pressures, you're very obliging, right? Very obliging. People say, let's do, you do. I say, don't do. Don't be squeezed into a mold and do what other people do just because they tell you to do. Don't. All right. Be not conformed. Let's be a live fish and not be a dead fish. And what does a dead fish do? You look at the river. The river is flowing downstream. Dead fish follow the stream. They just go where the flow is. And those who conform, they are dead fish. They just follow the stream and flow on to where it goes into the river of destruction, into the ocean of destruction. But let us all today be live fish to swim against current, not conform to the world. By the renewing of your mind. How can it be? How can I live and work in the world that is so full of sin and not do the things the world does? How can it be? Answer is here. Please see. By the what? Renewing of your mind. It is the mind that controls your body. Do you understand that? The mind controls what you do, what you think, what you say, what you do, where you go, how your responses and reactions, all these are commanded from the mind. Thank God for a sound mind. Thank God for a mind that can understand the gospel. Thank God for the mind that understands the word of God. And say, thank you, Lord, that you have given me a sound mind. I can read Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it makes sense to me. How come it makes sense to me? Thank God for a sound mind to understand that God has a purpose. And God has a will. And you remember we recited the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come. And then, thy will be done on earth. Now, please, on earth, don't just talk of earth elsewhere. Thy will be done on earth in my life. This is what it means. Truly, thy will be done. Why do you say that prayer so often? What for? In order that it may work through the Holy Spirit in your life. Thy will be done in my life, O Lord. This is the prayer. Now look at verse 2 again. Be not conformed to this world. Please don't follow the world like a dead fish. But be transformed daily by the renewing of your mind to be changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are you in Christ? Yes. Praise the Lord. Are you a new creature? Yes. Maybe. Maybe not. How can you be in Christ and not be a new person? Oh, my friends, make very sure. And when you have truly received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God in you will change your mind about things. The moment you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in Him, you know this world is not your home. You have a home up there. And my Savior is up there. My Savior died, rose again, and gone up there to prepare a place for me. And I belong there. Therefore, my mind is made up. And this mind must be made up every day. Every day, renew that mind, because the influence of the world is too strong and too powerful to change your mind sometimes. And after a while, you say, hey, the stock market is so wonderful. It's going up now. You get caught by that fever and you join them. And now, day and night, you think nothing but stocks and shares. Yes? Possible? Yes. Very possible. Until you get burned. Fingers burned. Whole body burned. Then you say, wow, I am a child of God. I should stop it. My dear friends, be not conformed to this world. Verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind can be renewed every day by the reading of the Word of God and by the receiving of that Word of God. Are you? Please, let's mean business for the Lord this morning. Yes. Reading is not enough, but assimilating, absorbing, and putting it into your system, drinking it in. God's word, like milk, like meat, like bread, take it in until you are strengthened, and that will transform you. Read on, please. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wonderful. Do you know the will of God? You will say to me, how can I know the will of God? Answer, you know the will of God when you look to Him humbly as a child and read His word like a child of God. Then in the word, He will show you His will every day. If you read every day, you will know it every day. And your mind will be renewed. I want to leave this with you. Every day, let us come to the throne of grace and renew our mind and say, Lord, I am your child. Please strengthen my faith that I will not ever go back to the world. Now, the last passage is Matthew 28:20. Verse 19 first. Verse 19 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Alright, you all know this verse. Now the punch verse is verse 19. Punch verse. Go ye therefore. Do you go? Do you tell? Do you witness? I'm going to ask you a very personal question. You ask yourself, how many people have I spoken to about their salvation this past week? Have you? He said, well, too busy. I never met anybody except my workmates. Oh, let me ask you, do you know your workmates, the people in the office, whether they are believers or not? Or do they know that you are a believer? Is there a concern for soul? That is the crux of the question. Do you feel concern for the salvation of souls? Do you? You say, why should I be? I say, you should be. Because the Lord says so. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations. Tell them about the Savior. Are you doing that? Oh, my friends, now let me show you another OHP. Not anyhow. Don't live your life anyhow. Don't do your work anyhow. Let's not be like the world. Anyhow means anyhow. That's all. Naturally. Do things that come naturally. Conform to this world. I said, dear friends, we are a different people. It says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory and causes us to triumph daily in Christ. Please live a triumphant life. Please live because God has given you new life and a new commission and says, go into all the world and tell others about my salvation grace. Do you go and tell? Do you live your life anyhow or triumphantly? Triumphantly because thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Because when you're in Christ, you're joined to Christ and He is a triumphant Savior, risen from the dead. Ever living Christ is your Savior. You're joined to Him. Therefore, you've got to do all things triumphantly. Right? So that the gospel message, because of you, becomes fragrant wherever you go. This verse reads like this. It says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Now I paraphrase it. Because of you, the message of the gospel becomes fragrant wherever you go. Now, is that what you do? Do you do things triumphantly? There's a lady in her kitchen has a placard. He says, not anyhow, but triumphantly. Meaning to say what? The way I cook. The way I look after my house. Every Christian housewife should live differently. Why? Because my Savior, who calls me to serve Him, is ever triumphant. And I am joined to Him. I will therefore do things triumphantly, meaning to say, different from other people. In Singapore, we all understand striving for excellence. This is exactly what it means. For excellence, triumphantly. Don't do it half-heartedly, haphazardly. Anyhow do. Anyhow also okay. I said, no, not for any Christian. But let's do it triumphantly. All my friends, now the last one. This verse, most of you know, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whatever you do, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God as a servant of Jesus Christ. Service of God means whatever you do, do well. I want to thank God for all those who serve in this church. Yes. Let us all serve triumphantly to the glory of God. Whether you sing in the choir, and we all are blessed by the choir singing, now with those words at the top, amazing. Otherwise, sometimes we just cannot get the whole message. Now everything is seen and heard, doing it triumphantly to the glory of God as a choir, as an usher, controlling the PA system people, whoever you are. There are 101 officers and things you can do for the Lord in this church. Ask yourself, what have I done for the Lord? The sea in the North Atlantic was a sight, a scene of great commotion. The Titanic was sinking. April 14th, 1912. 2,200 people were struggling for their lives without many lifeboats. And in the midst of that commotion, people were just struggling to get onto the lifeboat or to catch hold of something that can float. There was one man who never forgot that he was a servant of God. And that one man went around floating, struggling, asking the nearest neighbor, are you saved? And this man heard it. No. This man said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you will be saved. And they were floating up and down the waves of the Atlantic Ocean. He came back to him again and said, are you saved? The man says, no. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. After that, that man who shouted those words went under and was gone. This other man was saved. And he gave this testimony in a church in Ontario, Canada. He said, while I was struggling for life, hanging on to something that floated, this man came and said, are you saved? And I never forget those words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Serving the Lord to his last breath was John Harper. This story is told in a book available in our book room called The Last Hero of the Titanic. And so he went down. Together with 2,200 others went, 1,522 went down. 722 were saved. But because of this man, this other was saved. But you know, John Harper, all his life is servant of God wherever he went, whether in the streets, street corner, in the home, in the church, he preached one thing, Jesus Christ. He is your salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. This was the true servant of God. Today we think of being a servant of God. What is it to be a servant of God? faithful to the end, John Harper, in his dying moment, said, "Are you saved?" And that man says, "No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved." He was saved. Are we serving the Lord with our last breath? Think about it. We're in the comfort of this wonderful auditorium. What are we doing for the lost? Have a value for souls, dear friends. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts that we may remember the great price paid for our redemption, and that the Savior who saves says, "Go and be my witnesses, be my servants." O Lord, help us that we will do as thou hast said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.